Book of Psalms once again, and we're going to go to Psalm chapter 3 together. Psalm chapter 3, and we'll begin our reading in the very first verse. Psalm chapter 3 and verse number 1. Psalm chapter 3 and verse number 1. Psalm chapter 3, verse 1, the Bible says this: Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say to my soul, there is no help for him in God, Selah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Selah. I laid me down and slept. I waked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone, and thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Selah. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for your word, and we're grateful for the opportunity we have to once again, Lord, be refreshed by reading and studying your word this afternoon. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to glean truth, to help us to take steps forward, to honor you, to bring glory to you. Lord, and if there's anyone that is here this afternoon that may be struggling with doubt or struggling with worry, I pray that they would find the confidence that they need in their life to trust you no matter what. So, Lord, I pray your blessing upon our time together. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We find a wonderful expression in Psalm chapter 3, and that is in verse number 5. It says, I laid me down and slept. What complete confidence in God in the middle of a pretty difficult time in David's life. You know, sleeplessness plagues all of us from some time in our lives. For many, it's chronic, a chronic condition. Others battle it when some burden or trouble or decision weighs heavily on their mind. Some of us lie awake at night because we do not think we can face what tomorrow will bring. Medicines and methods abound for managing this life-altering affliction, but only one completely successful cure exists. There's a wonderful quote. Warren Wiersbe said this: most Christians are being crucified on the cross between two thieves, yesterday's regret and tomorrow's worry. Now, we understand as believers that the devil wants to steal life and peace from our soul. The Bible says that Jesus came to give life and life more abundantly, but the devil is a thief. He wants to kill, to kill and to destroy, and he wants to take that life, that peace, that abundant life from us. And so I find in this passage of Scripture some wonderful reminders for us as we move forward for Christ in these days. And I believe that we find how David conquered his worry, how by faith he trusted God in a very hard, difficult circumstance in his life. So let's look at this passage of Scripture and build it out this afternoon. First of all, let's think about David's trial. David's trial. Now, this psalm was written when David's own son was seeking to kill him. The Bible says in 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse 11, and Absalom sent for Ahithophel, the Gilonite, David's counselor from his city, even to Gilah, while he offered sacrifices, and the conspiracy was strong, for the people increased continually with Absalom. And so here is Absalom. He receives advice from Ahithophel, the very right-hand man of King David. And there's this great conspiracy in Israel, in David's kingdom, against David. And in fact, an army is chasing David, and they're trying to kill David, and he's running for his life. And you can imagine the difficulty of all of this, being chased from your own kingdom. But on top of all of that, the burden and the shame of it being from your own son. And so here's David, he's fleeing, and he's writing here in Psalm chapter 3 and verse 1, how are they increased that troubled me? And so there's great trouble, there's great burden Many are they that rise up against me. And so here's David in this trial, this affliction of his life. And Psalm chapter 3, in this circumstance, is David's prayer to God. David is seeking God in this time in his life. And we see in this passage of Scripture, first of all, we see a multitude of foes in verse number 1. The Bible says, they are increased that trouble me. Many they are that rise up against me. So we notice here the multitude of foes that have come in David's life. Spurgeon said this, troubles always come in flocks. And we know this is true in David's life. His son rebelling against him, his generals and his soldiers turning from his standard, his very own counselor turning against him. And that's why David is saying, how increased are they that trouble me? How increased are they that rise up against me? And so there's this great multitude of foes that is present in David's life. And I don't know what the foe is in your life, the trouble or the difficulty that you're facing. Maybe it's a financial trouble in your life. Maybe it's a work trouble. Maybe it's a family trouble. Maybe it's a coworker trouble. I don't know what is happening in your life. I heard the story of a young man that was having difficulties at work, and you know, with his coworkers and with his boss, there was lots of stress and trouble there. And instead of him overcoming and finding grace and help from the Lord, he just decided to quit his job and just run away from all of his troubles and all of his difficulties from his life. And obviously, David felt overwhelmed. David felt like he couldn't get through. I mean, from the very beginning of this psalm, you understand that David is overwhelmed with what is happening in his life. And yet, we notice his attitude here. He's saying, listen, my strength, my might, my knowledge, it all comes from the Lord. I mean, they have everything. They have men, they have wisdom, they have money, they have knowledge. They have everything that they need to overwhelm me. They have everything they need to win this battle. But yet David is saying, but I have God on my side. And when God is on our side, we're always the majority. And so even though there was a multitude of foes, we still see David's attitude. His attitude was trust in God. Now notice the message of his foes. You know, I think the worst weapon that these enemies had was not their strength, but it was their statement. The statement that they made. And what was the statement that they made? They said this to David, there is no help from God. God is not going to help you. God is not going to deliver you. David, don't you understand that God has left you? Don't you understand that God will not be a help in your life? And even though the world or the devil may repeat it over and over and over again, repeating something doesn't make it true. And David is hearing this, and maybe you're hearing this, maybe within your family. Maybe within your workplace, you're constantly hearing that people speaking against God and speaking against God's help in your life. And yet we see that David continues to trust God. And he doesn't listen to the statement of his enemies, but knows that God is there to help him. The Bible says this in 1 Peter chapter 5. Would you turn there with me, 1 Peter chapter 5, and notice what the scripture says in verse 6. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 6. It teaches us here to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, the 6th verse. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all of your care upon him. By the way, casting our care upon the Lord is a part of humbling ourselves. As we humble ourselves before God, we cast all of our care upon him, for he careth for you. That's a statement. God cares about us. But notice what the Bible says in verse 8. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion. He walketh about seeking whom he may devour. God teaches us, declares for us, that we are to cast our care, humble ourselves, and cast our care upon the Lord, because he cares about us. And God wants us to cast those worries, those anxieties, those fears upon his shoulders. He wants to bear the weight of the trials in our life. And that's the idea of casting, is to take it from, you know, the burdens that we have and casting them upon the Lord. And yet we have in the passage of Scripture in 1 Peter, we understand that the devil is there. And the devil is a liar. And he's seeking whom he may devour. And so as Christians, we are to be sober. We are to be paying attention. The devil desires to destroy us or devour us. And to devour means to totally destroy. And they say in nature videos, scientists will say that they will come across remains that are left. And they know that it's from a lion because there's very little left. Lions completely devour their prey. And the Bible says that the devil is a liar and he is like a lion. And he's looking whom he may devour. And one of the things that he says to us as believers, he whispers in our ears and he says, God doesn't care about us. God doesn't love us. If God cared about us, and by the way, the context of 1 Peter is that Christians were going through a very difficult time of persecution, tribulation. And no doubt the devil was there to discourage them, to try to devour them. And Peter is saying, listen, God cares about us. We can cast our care upon him and be sober and be vigilant and be careful because the devil is there and he's trying to convince us that God doesn't care about us, that God doesn't love us. And yet this is what our world says today, and this is what the devil says, that God has forsaken you. But friend, remember that God has not forsaken us. God cares about us. God loves us. We see the word here in our Bible in Psalm 3, the word Selah. And it has an idea when we see the word Selah, when you're reading the Bible and you see that expression Selah, what it means is to pause and take note of what you just read, to pause and think about, to meditate upon what God said. And here the Bible says, many which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God, Selah. Think about that. Pause and think about that. And then he says, but thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of my head. We can trust in God today. And David understood, no matter what the foes say, no matter what the world says, that there was help in God and that God was there to help and direct him. Number two, let's think about not only his trial, but I want us to think about his trust. Look what the Bible says in verse 3. It says, but thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Selah. The voices of defeat are silenced in verses 3 to 4. And David cries out in this wonderful psalm, Lord, you are my shield. Lord, you are my protector. I will trust in you. We see right away in this psalm the assurance that David had in God. He says, Lord, you're my shield. The word there, shield, is the idea of a buckler, which completely surrounds us. And God is completely surrounding us. Listen, every trouble, every trial, every tribulation that comes into a Christian's life, it has to go through God. God completely surrounds the child of God. He is our shield and he is our buckler. And the Old Testament is filled with this teaching. Genesis chapter 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 29, the Bible says, happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help. And who is the sword of thy excellency? And thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee. Thou shalt tread upon their high places. We are completely safe and secure in Christ. If any man be in Christ, he is our shield, he is our buckler. But also notice what David said here in verse 3. He says also, God, you are my glory. I love that. You are my glory. You are my glory. David, of course, was looking to God by faith and looking forward by faith. And though he was driven from the capital in scorn, though there were many that were chasing him and trying to kill him, he understood that with God he'd have victory. He understood that he would return, that God ultimately would have the last say. Psalm 84, verse 11, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory, and no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." Now, if we were to do a study on David's life, and maybe many of you have done that, we understand that David's life was characterized by one thing, and that was war. David was a man of war. In fact, God would not let him build the temple because he was a man of war. His son Solomon would build the temple, who would be a man of peace. And so David was known as a man of war. He ascended to the throne of Israel after being victorious over the giant Goliath in a military campaign. He had ruled gloriously over God's chosen people. But his glory was stripped from him and turned to shame as suddenly he had to flee Jerusalem. He was on barefoot, weeping, and with his head hung low. He was further disgraced by the fact that his enemy, the key enemy in his life, was his only son. But David recognized that any glory he had achieved in his life was because of God. And he was fully aware that only God could restore that glory in his life. And he said, "God, you are my shield. God, you are my glory. And God, you are the lifter up of mine head." David's head was bowed low in despair, but God would lift his head again. Spurgeon said, "Though I hang my head in sorrow, I will certainly lift it up in joy." And this was the life of David. He understood and he had confidence in God. And so we see his assurance in God. But verse 4, we see his appeal to God. He says in verse 4, "I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Selah." God heard David. David was dethroned. He had to flee Jerusalem. He had to flee his throne. But listen, David understood that God was not dethroned, that God was still in control, that God was still on his throne, and that he was in control of everything, and that God heard him when he spoke. God heard his prayer, and he looked to the Lord for help in his life. I'm glad today that God hears our cry. I'm glad today that God hears our prayer and that we can talk to him for anything. Number three, let's think about this as we close our message this afternoon, David's triumph. David's triumph. Look what he says in verse 5 of our text. "I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone, and thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon all people. Selah." So we see the trial of David, we see the trust of David, but ultimately we see the triumph of David. And this is really the order of Psalm chapter 3. We see David's vision in verse 5. He said, "He laid me down and slept." This means here, the idea is David's confidence in God. Now, I don't know if you could sleep if you knew there was an army chasing you. But David could, because David took his hands and he placed it in God's hands. And he knew that God was at work. One preacher said it this way: "In the midst of torture and torment and treason, David smiled up into the face of God and he said, 'Good night, Lord. I have done what I can. I have put as much distance as possible between us and the foe. I have posted a guard. Now do thou sustain our cause. I've done all that I can, and now I trust in you.'" And by the way, friends, I just believe that this is a great motto for our life. You know, we trust God absolutely. We do all that we can, and we leave the rest with God. You know, the Bible says it this way: David said, listen, we prepare the horses for the day of battle, but our trust is in the Lord. We do all that we can on our end, and then we leave the rest with God. And that's what David is saying in this passage of Scripture. Lord, I've done all that I can, and now I'm going to sleep, and I'm trusting in you to sustain me. You know, the thought there of sleep was an expression of trusting God. And it really speaks volumes to his reliance and really the peace that he had in his heart. It's a valuable lesson that we all must learn in our life, is to leave it with God, to do what we can and leave it with God. That's what the Bible says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Be careful for nothing. The word there, careful, speaks of our worry and our anxiety. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. David said, I'm just leaving it with the Lord. It's time to go to bed. God will help me and direct me. We see letter B as well, David's victory. David's victory. Not only David's vision, but his victory. Verse 7. He says, arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone, and thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Selah. We see Israel's marching orders here. Arise, O Lord, and save me. One time they asked a preacher's wife what her husband's prayer was every morning. And she said, well, it's not long. He sits in his chair and he says, Lord, help me. This is what David is saying. David is saying, Lord, you need to help me. I don't have the answers, and I don't have the army. I don't have the strength. I don't have the wisdom. I don't have the weapons. I'm trusting in you. Salvation, verse 8, belongeth unto the Lord. And David knew that God was at work. And God was at work, as we get to read the full story. Someone said, ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds ye so much dread are big with mercy and shall fall in blessings on your head. The Lord is on my side, Psalm 118, verse 6. I will not fear what man can do unto me. The Lord is on my side. That's a wonderful, wonderful blessing. You know, David's prayers for two things. First of all, he calls for humiliation. David wanted God to prove them untrue. All of those that fight against him, David wanted God to show that they were not of God and to prove them wrong. And so he says here in our text, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. That expression there, it's not really in our culture today, but that's like the slap in the face, right? It's the slap of humiliation. And that's what David is saying here, that God would come to his enemies and humiliate them, slap them in the face, if we may say. And really this token of humiliation was God at work and God showing that it was David that had favor. It was David that was supposed to be the king. And not only a call of humiliation, but also there was a call to disarm them. He speaks here that God would break their teeth. And the thought there is to render them defenseless, like teethless animals, if we could say it like that. And that's kind of the imagery that David is talking about, that God's work would be done and it would be accomplished, that those against David would be humiliated, that they would be defenseless, and that they would see that salvation belongeth to God, that God was favoring David, and that God was on David's side, that there indeed was help in the Lord. And so this is David's prayer. In a difficult time in David's life, in a time where many would say, David, you don't have a chance. I mean, you're on the losing end of this war. And yet David knew that God was on his side. And God help us to have this confidence, this assurance in our life, to lay down and to sleep, to rest in God and his work in our life each and every day. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for the challenge that we have in your word.